Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jean-Paul Lavoisier, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Tune in. It's a blast.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is July 1st, 2008, and I am your host, Joanne. Please, everyone, call in and participate with our guests and log into the chat room for some fun chat with the rest of the peeps. Make sure you go and rate the show once it's over. It will be available for download about 30 minutes after airing. And definitely make a note, tune in for tomorrow night, July 2nd, for the lovely Miss Catherine Hickland, and July 3rd for the ever so fine Mr. Greg Vaughn from a General Hospital. All right, now tonight's guest is a Connecticut native who has managed to find her way to the oh-so cheesy Paris, Texas, and we are hoping that she is going to be bringing her award-winning pie skills to a more permanent home in picturesque Landview, Pennsylvania. So I would love, let me just warn everybody real fast, she sounds nothing like Noelle. So yes, this is truly who you're going to be talking to, Miss January Lavoie.
Hello.
Hi, January.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am just fine, thank you. Thank you for the lovely introduction. It's such a pleasure to be on.
Oh, gosh, thank you for coming on. I'm going to bring on my special guest host now. His name is Tony from Chicago. Hi,
hi.
Tony.
Hi, Joanne. How you doing? Good evening, everybody, and good evening, everybody in Bumpland, too. How are you doing tonight?
Say hi to Miss January.
Hello, January. How are you?
I'm fine, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to have you here. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
So now, do you prefer for people to call you straight out January? Do you have a nickname? I want to make you feel as comfortable as possible.
I do go by January. You know, when I was younger, a lot of people called me Jan, particularly when I was in college. But it sort of fell away after that, and so I've just sort of become January, and I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Well, that's good. Well, I love it. It's very unique, and it fits you. It does definitely fit
you. It does.
So, all right. Well, let's get started here with a little bit of background. You were born and raised in Connecticut.
I was.
Started acting very young, just a small child, and you went on to perform in the theater, films, television, including all three Law & Order series, correct?
That is true, yes.
All my favorites. Those are my three favorite primetime shows. All
of them. Oh, I love it. It's a wonderful place to work and a terrific show.
Mm-hmm. So now, at what point in this journey did you know that acting was what you wanted to do as a profession?
I think I always knew. I was about 3 years old, and my grandmother, who was a tremendous One Life to Live fan, all the ABC soaps, but particularly One Life to Live was her show, and Erica Slezak was her favorite actress.
Right.
So I was raised watching those shows, but she was an actress in her own right, and she ran the community theater near where I grew up, and she put me on stage when I was about three and just never looked back. that was pretty much it. I have a lot of very early memories of being in that theater, and I always wanted to be backstage, on stage, in the front row. I just wanted to be as close to the stage as I could possibly get. So I think I come by it pretty honestly. I guess maybe I just inhaled too much stage dust as a child, but that's where it came from. So
that can happen. That can happen, Jenny.
Yeah, yeah. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous environment. it's contagious.
And so evidently then, yes, you were familiar with One Life to Live. What was it like? How did you end up in Paris, Texas, via Landview?
It was really fast when it happened. They had actually been looking. I heard, you know, some friends had said, they're looking for this new character, One Life to Live, but my understanding of it is that they were actually looking for someone who was a little bit older than I was, and so I don't think I had even been sort of considered for it. Mm-hmm. And then about a month later, I guess they had looked, you know, and not quite found the right person for it. So about a month after I had first heard about it, my agent called and said, you know, they just sent out this new breakdown for this part on One Life to Live, and they're looking for something very specific, and I think it might be you. And there's really nothing better to hear as an actor than to hear your agent say to you before you even get to the audition, I think they're looking for you. It does wonders to instill confidence in you.
Right.
So I got the script, and they had actually written scenes that were just for the audition. They weren't, you know, actual episode scenes. They were just audition scenes. And as soon as I looked at the material, I mentioned in the breakdown that it was, you know, somewhat akin to, I don't know if you've seen the movie Waitress, but there was a lot of inspiration for the Paris, Texas storyline.
Oh, gosh, what was her name?
Woman who plays Felicity.
Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell, yes.
And so I looked at the scenes, and as I was looking at them, I just heard this voice in my head. not the bad kind of voice that tells you to do things, but I heard this very sweet Texas twang, and it just, that became Noelle. And I had an audition. My first audition was on a Monday, and then I had I went in again on Tuesday for the producers. Then they wrote new material. I went in again Wednesday. Thursday I went in for the producers again, Frank Valentini and Ron Carlovati, also the head writer. And then Friday I got the call.
Wow.
So it happened very fast, and I was very happy.
Wow.
Well, we are
so
very happy also, because you definitely, that whole story arc bringing Vicky down to Paris, Texas, I thought was really great. It's something, it's somewhat of a comedy relief that was needed at the time, I think, and you and the other girls in the diner just brought that. It was kind of like watching Mel's Diner, you know, but in a soap opera version.
Yeah, Alice. It reminded me of an old sitcom called Alice, Joanne, back in the late 70s,
that's
early 80s.
Right, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't think it was an accident that Mo is named Mo, which is so close to Mel.
Exactly.
I
used to love that show, and you know, there are a lot of sort of classic archetypes that Ron has pulled from to create those characters, and I think that's part of why the fans responded so overwhelmingly to the story, because it was so familiar in a way,
accessible
and comfortable, and it was the kind of place that everybody wants to visit. Everybody wants to have a diner like that, or a place that you can go where, you know, it's like the Cheers thing where everyone knows your name. So
Exactly. But and that's what it is. So now, we are out of Paris, Texas. When is Noelle going to make her way to Landview?
Yes, we want to find out that.
Isn't that the million-dollar question? I can tell you that I have been back in the studio, are working on some new stuff, but where and how it's woven into the story, I'm going to have to leave for you to see for yourself.
Okay, we got the one in the air. Okay.
A little bit of contractual obligation there, but but the good news is that I am there, and Mo is there, and I think you're going to be very pleased with what is coming down the road this summer. And you know, it's a very exciting summer for us because it's the 40th anniversary of One Life to Live, which is a tremendous milestone for everyone involved. And Ron, of course, having just won, Ron and our whole writing team having just won the Daytime Emmy for Best Writing, our directors, Best Direction. Also, what wasn't shown on the televised version, that our costume designers won, our lighting designers won. It was really a tremendous year for the
and
show.
And also two original songs from the show also won as well.
That's right, two original songs. So it was really great. I actually happened to be taping that following Monday in the studio, and what a day. Everyone was exhausted and exhilarated, and it's just really wonderful because people work so hard. I mean, it really truly is a labor of love to put out an hour-long show every day of the week. And,
right. Well, I love, we have someone in the chat room, Brandon. He's saying it's great that they're actually celebrating this anniversary and giving it due respect, which is great because with General Hospital, when they hit 45, they did absolutely nothing. They did a little behind-the-scenes party. They didn't celebrate it with any past cast. They did nothing televised. Everything was behind the scenes, nothing for the fans to enjoy.
And on top of that, Joanne, they didn't exactly go grab clips in the past what they do when they first started. When you had Dr. Steve Hardy and Nurse Brewer and all those, they didn't do that this year. They did just ran a behind the scenes thing.
Yeah, no, they General Hospital really shortchanged the fans when it came to the 45th anniversary of this year. So everybody's really excited that they're actually going to do something spectacular for One Life to Live, you know.
Yeah.
One Life to Live has been, I think, out of all three ABC soaps, people are faithful watchers of all three of them, of people. I mean, I'm one of them, but truthfully,
I'm the other.
I've been focusing on One Life to Live more than I have on the other two. You know, the other ones can kind of sit back in the TiVo until it's almost time that they're going to auto-delete, and then I'll watch them. You know, but One Life to Live is something that it's keeping me coming back every single day, you know, and that's what I like about it. I think Ron is doing a fantastic job with the writing, and it's definitely worth watching, and I cannot wait until they bring you back into the fold, and I'm dying to see because you and Mo, well, Noelle and Mo, they was gonna kiss. David was getting to kiss.
Yeah, we want to see
now
them hook up. You want to see them hook up? You know what I mean? They were like love last time we saw them.
Well, you know, it's
right?
So funny because, you know, our names, you know how, of course, we love to you know, take the couple's names and smash them together, you know, like Jennifer and that sort of thing. And, you know, Moel is just such a perfect, ready-made couple name. I'm surprised.
Replace
oh, my God.
It almost sounds intentional.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Well, are you ready to take any telephone calls, darling?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay. Let's go over here to area code 813. That is in Florida. I know that for a fact. 813, you're on the phone with Ms. January Lavoie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay. I love you on One Life to Live.
Oh, that's Maggie. That's Maggie, January.
Hi, Maggie. Thank you so much for calling.
And I love you on One Life to Live.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you watching. I'm so glad that you're enjoying it.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, Maggie.
Great talking to you.
Bye.
Okay, bye, Maggie.
Bye, Maggie.
Okay, next we're going to go over to area code 585, which I believe is Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. Okay. You're live on Stardust Radio with Jennifer Lavoie. Brandon? Hello. Brandon.
Hi, who's this?
Hello. This is Ruth.
Oh,
it's
Ruth.
I'm sorry. Hi, Ruth. I got the area codes mixed up.
My bad.
It's me, January.
Hi, Ruth.
Hello, honey. How are you?
Oh, I'm so well. It's so great to hear your voice.
Yours, too. I just made it home, and say hello to you in the chat room.
Oh,
I did put, hi, January, better late than never.
Oh, I'm so glad you made it. Thank you so much for calling, and I'm so sorry about your kitty. I'm
Thank
so,
you.
So sorry.
Thank
Ruth
you.
Lost her kitten over the week. I'm just
Oh,
I'm
really?
So sorry.
That's terrible.
Yes,
we're so sorry about that.
Thank you so much. But
How
I'm
are you
so,
feeling?
Really down in the dumps. Thank
you. I'm so sorry.
But we won't go there. I'm just so excited to speak to you.
Oh,
I am thrilled to know that you're coming on and you're on Stardust. Thank you so much, Joanne. You are
you're
the
welcome,
best.
Ruth. Thank you,
I
darling.
Wanted her so bad. And
I know you
wonderful.
Did.
Thank you. And she's just wonderful.
Okay.
And couldn't ask for a better lady, for a better actress. And so what's new and what's coming up and what can you tell us?
Well, as I was saying, Ruth is, I have to tell everyone that Ruth is one of my favorite people that I have gotten to meet through this whole experience of being on One Life to Live. I have been so struck by the absolute generosity and kindness of the fans and just the amount of the outpouring of generosity and love that comes from everyone. But Ruth in particular has been so steadfast in her support of me and the show, and I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, Ruth, thank you so much for taking the time and putting in the effort that you do, and all of the fans that write in and call and take the time, you know, to send the emails, to put pen to paper, to pick up the phone. It really means the whole wide world to me and to all of us. So thank you so much for that.
You are so welcome, and you're very deserving.
Thank you.
You are so deserving, and I only do it for those who deserve it and appreciate it. And you are one of the best.
Well, I truly do. And I was just telling Joanne that you know, of course I can't say exactly what's going to happen, but we are coming in to be woven into the 40th anniversary story, which is absolutely spectacular. I think that the fans are going to be shocked and overjoyed, and I really do think that I can't say enough good things about Ron Carlovati. He's an exceptional writer, an exceptional man, but I really do think that he has found a way to make people so happy and to really honor the long-time committed fans of One Life to Live, in addition to really bringing in, you know, engaging the newer viewers and people that maybe don't know the history of the show. But he's really done such a great job with this story. So you will be seeing a different side of Noelle than you have ever seen before, and I can promise you that.
Well, I'm so looking forward to it, because I bet you do a great job with that part too.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
No doubt, because you can do a little bit of everything, I'm sure. And I will continue to support you. I will continue to write in. It's not once in, like I told you, it's not one time shot. It's going to continue.
Thank you so much. So great to hear from you.
Dan will be doing the same. Jan will do the same for you.
Oh, and thank her for me as well, please.
She's listening in right now.
Yeah,
oh,
she's
thank
listening
you, Dana,
in the chat room.
She's in the chat. And she's listening in, so.
Dana, thank you so much.
Her and I do things together. So it's a joint effort for you, January. And,
we
work together with the characters that we feel fit to get our support, and you are on top of the list.
Well, I so appreciate that.
I love your character. I respect you as a person. And you are even better in person when I can get to talk to you, and I love it.
Oh, thank
you. I'm
so
glad I rushed home from my daughter. So
I'm glad I caught you.
I got home in record time.
Oh, wow.
Well,
keep in touch. Please keep in touch, all right?
I definitely will, and you do too. And watch for some more mail, because it will be coming.
I certainly will. Thank you so much, Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth, for calling.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Joanne. And
you're welcome.
You're
honey.
The best too. I love
thank
you all.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll
good night.
In the chat.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. So in the chat room, January, Brandon, who I don't know why he hasn't called in yet, because he always does.
Hey, Brandon, call in, man.
I'm telling you. So he's asking here, can she answer if her storyline somehow ties into the upcoming Bo and Rex story, the Back to the Future thing that they're doing, and tell her that we will take a no comment as a yes?
Wow, as long as I know what I'm up against. I will say that, well, gosh, what do you guys know about this storyline? Can I ask that first?
Well, truthfully, all I heard was, I try not to read the spoilers because I like to be surprised. I try not to get too involved with them. But from what I understand, that Vicky is supposed to be off in Never Land, and she's supposed to run into all these past characters and such as, you know, stuff like that. That's all I know.
You know, well, Brandon's listening. Brandon, she wants to know what we know about the storyline. So that's what you can call in and ask. He says, somebody
yes,
give
Brandon.
Me a part. He says,
well,
somebody give me.
Well, I can give you part of the storyline, Joanne.
Huh?
I can give you part of the storyline of all the stuff that's going to happen. You know, there's going to be not only the Bo and Rex Freaky Friday thing, it's also going to be the remake of the Mandora waterfall situation when Tina was thrown over the falls, except it's going to be Sarah. Going to be thrown over the falls.
Okay.
And the other one would be the Vicky. Like you said, you mentioned the Vicky one. Beth is going to have all the past characters. So those are the most unless they're going to have for that 40th anniversary.
Yes. No, I mean, no comment.
Okay.
January.
There you go. See, I like to not read them. I like to be
It's hard because, you know, there's a very fine line between anticipation and knowing a little too much. But I will say that I can tell Brandon that he's warm. How about that? Can I say you're warm? You may be on to something. Can I say that?
That's a good one. I like it. I definitely like it. All right, let's go over here and see who's on area code 931. You're on the phone with January Lavoie.
Hi, January. It's Janet. How are you?
Hi, Janet. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing really great. It's so good to hear from you.
Oh, thank you so much for calling, and I got your letters last week. Thank you so very much. It's so kind of you to send in that mail. I can't tell you how wonderful it is to actually see people's handwriting, and just I feel like I get to know people so much better when that happens, and now I'm hearing your voice, which is even better. Thank you.
This is so great. If I have a question, if you could go back and tape your favorite scene, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. Well, the pie fight is certainly an obvious wonderful choice. Although, as far as fun scenes to tape go, it might not have been on the top of my list, but it was definitely the most fun to watch afterwards. But I would have to say that it would be my very first episode. And I say that because Miss Erica Slezak, who is an extraordinary human being in addition to being an extraordinary actress, it was my first day on the set, and we had a lot of scenes because, if you recall, when they first introduced the Paris storyline, you know, because you know Vicky was there and it was the bulk of the episodes, we had a lot going on. Never been on that set before, never been in the uniform, never done the accent and everything. And we did all the rehearsal and all the cameras and the directors and the stage managers and everyone was there. And just before we started to tape our very first scene, Erica walked up to me and she put her hands on my face and she said, "I hope that you are with us for a very, very long time." And she gave me a kiss on the cheek and then we started to tape. It was really just the most wonderful. I just felt all of my fear and my apprehension just sort of drain away. And I was able to to get all the words out in the right order without dropping any pies or coffee cups. And it was a wonderful, wonderful day. So
can you tell us when you might be back on the show, like what week, so we can be watching for sure?
I am pretty sure that there will be, that you'll have your first Noelle sighting again in about a week, maybe a week and a half. So it's kind of hard to tell, especially when there's a 3-day weekend like there is. It's hard to know when things are getting preempted or when things are getting, moved and sort of juggled around. But I believe it'll be around the end of next week.
Oh, I can't wait.
No, me neither.
I can't wait. I hope you come back on a more permanent basis. We're really looking forward to that.
Oh, Janet, thank you so much. And as I said to Ruth, your efforts are so appreciated. And it really, regardless of what it means to the powers that be, it means the world to me. So thank you.
I appreciate it. And thank you so much for keeping in touch with us and for coming on tonight. It was good to hear from you.
You too. Thanks so much. And be well, okay?
You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Night, Jan.
Care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, let's see. I wanted to ask you. Now, you said that acting, you kind of knew that you always wanted to do. Is there something that, if you couldn't be an actress, what would you want to do?
I would probably be working with animals. If I was not an actress, I would probably be a veterinarian or a marine biologist. My parents actually owned a pet store when I was growing up.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was raised around a lot of animals. I love to be around animals. My boyfriend and I went to Mexico a few months ago, and I actually was able to fulfill one of my lifelong dreams, which was to swim with dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and it's really, I just feel a tremendous amount of communion and community with animals. You know, there's a peace and a gentleness, and at the same time, there's an unpredictable quality. There's an excitement, and there's just a real honesty. There's a real honesty with animals.
Yeah.
They never have an agenda other than to, you know, eat or sleep or be warm or, you know. And, it's funny because acting is all about communication. And it's a very verbal medium. And I think that being around animals allows me to explore my nonverbal self, my nonverbal side. Communicate in different ways.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I'm a cat person. That's about as far as I'll get with animals. As far as I'll go, I'll have a cat. No. Brandon, Mr. Shyman, that's not calling in. He always has such great stories and questions, and I don't know why he's not calling, but this is what he says. It would be great if Carlotta could have a non-fatal heart attack or something, and Vicky and Gigi could convince Noelle and Mo to come to Pennsylvania and run her diner for a while.
Whoa.
Well, non-fatal. Non-fatal.
I certainly don't wish any ill on Carlotta or any of the Vega family.
No, absolutely.
However, I certainly think that and many people have expressed this to me in different ways, but I certainly think that Landview could stand to have a slightly more diverse population.
You think?
You know, with so, you know, perhaps Noelle Ortiz might add a little bit of
or even Sean. I mean, come on, big sexy
Hello.
Sean.
Hello. Come on.
Where has Sean been?
I'm telling you.
Basically non-existent.
Yes. You know, Sean is a fine-looking man, and then they go season. They certainly need to definitely make some love connections. What happened to Love in the Afternoon?
That's right. I remember those commercials. Oh,
right, remember?
Great. I do.
That's right.
That was usually when my mother was telling me I wasn't allowed to watch television in the
afternoon. That's right.
So.
Exactly. Me too. We do have someone in the chat room who's saying that January got me hooked on One Life to Live. She's a newbie.
Oh, my goodness.
They're a newbie, and you got them hooked.
Wow, how cool. Thank you so much for saying that. That is really exciting.
Her name is Jade. Okay, Jade.
Jade. Oh, I think I know Jade.
Okay, well, Jade said that you got her hooked on One Life to Live.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Jade.
Okay.
You got a lot of fans, I'll tell you, January.
Yes, you do. You definitely do. Let's go over to area code 303. You're on the phone with January Lavoie. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, January.
Hi, you're on the phone with January.
Hi, Jade. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
New for me. I just got your text, so I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, let me give Joanne a little bit of background about who you are, Jade.
Okay.
I would love that.
So when I was in graduate school for acting, getting my master's degree in acting in Colorado, I taught during summers, and I taught a young, what were you at the time, Jade, six or seven-year-old in an acting class. And apparently now it's my fault that she's decided she wants to be an actress. From all those years ago, Jade is now going into high school, and about a month ago she came out, well, maybe 2 months now, she came out to New York and she visited, and we visited the set together, so she has been on the set of One Life to Live. And we had a really wonderful time together. And Jade did a whole project about her trip to New York and becoming an actress. And it's true, she is now hooked on One Life to Live. But I think, let's be fair, Jade, I think that you got hooked on One Life to Live because you met John Brotherton, not so much because I'm on the show.
You know, that may be a little bit of a part of it because he's completely gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
You told me he has a fiancé, but I can dream.
That's true. You can. And actually, they're married now.
They're married now, yes, a couple weeks ago.
Congratulations to John and Allie, yes. And, yes, so that is the story with Jade. But thank you so much for calling, Jade.
Oh, sure thing. Just wanted to check in other than text, so.
Well, I really
appreciate it. I'll let your more in-tune and non-newbie fans talk now.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that.
Anytime. I'll see you later. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jade, for calling in.
Bye, Jade.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That's such a cute story. Sunil, would you consider, like, during, like, any downtime that you might have from the set, would you consider teaching acting classes?
You know, I love teaching. I really love teaching acting. And every time I teach acting, I learn more about acting. So it's always a welcome endeavor and a welcome adventure. It's difficult because, you know, with the acting career, you're always auditioning and there's always something coming up, or One Life to Live is calling, or, you know, you're leaving town, and so it's hard to be able to commit to it. And that's one of the things about having an acting teacher, is that it's really somebody you want to be able to develop a relationship with that you can trust and feel comfortable with. So it's definitely something that I would do, absolutely, without question. So, it's something I really enjoy, and particularly teaching to younger, you know, teenagers and younger kids, because they're so uninhibited.
Right.
You know, as adults, we have all these ideas about, oh, well, this is what it's like when you're sad, and this is what it's like when you're mad. But, you know, kids can go so freely with their emotions.
I have a 15-year-old son, and he's away at the camp for the summer. He'll be home in a couple weeks, and he calls me yesterday. There's a casting agent. I'm not going to mention his name, but I had sent, we're friendly, and I had sent him just, you know, this is my son's football picture or whatever, and he sent it back to me. He said, you know, Joanne, this one can look, you know, looks like he can definitely be a soap star. So I made the mistake of telling my son that. So he called me yesterday, and he's like, okay, call, what's his name, and I want to get on soaps. I want to get on One Life to Live. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, call him. I was like, Kirsten, it is so not like, let's call him and get on his soap. That's not how it works, my friend.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, if only it were. I was cracking up. He just made me giggle yesterday with that one. We gotta do so much stuff. I said, you need acting class. He's like, you know, I know how to act. I lie all the time. I was like, oh my God. I was like, okay.
Oh, man.
My sweet 15-year-old.
It is true to a certain extent. I remember when I was in graduate school, a lot of people referred to it as a master's in make-believe. Because there is a lot of pretending involved, you know. There's a lot
of
acting as if. But yeah, you know, some people just have a natural talent, a natural knack. You never know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a good-looking kid, but I don't know about acting. We'll see.
We'll see.
He might have the genes. Who knows?
We'll see. School first.
That's right.
Get the education first. That's right.
Exactly. All right, we're going to go over here to area code 512, which now I know this is my buddy Brandon.
Oh, that's going to be Texas.
Hey,
Brandon.
Joanne. Hey, Tony. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, Brandon. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Hey, January, how are you?
I'm great, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's quite a thrill to talk to you tonight.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. Listen, I have a question for you right off the bat.
Okay.
How's my Texas accent? Do you have any pointers for me?
It is fantastic. It's spot. In fact, when I heard you tonight, I couldn't believe that this was your real voice, because it was I was so convinced that you were from Georgia or from Alabama or somewhere in the South. It's spot on.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so good to hear that.
So I want to ask you a question about it's kind of a silly question, I know, but I want to ask you about a storyline that you were kind of involved in on the periphery in One Life to Live.
Sure.
And that was the climax of the Marcy Todd baby Tommy story. I know you were kind of just on the sidelines of that, but how did it feel being a part of that? It seemed like the whole cast kind of banded together to make the climax of that story really special. And I'm just wondering how you felt, you know, being a part of that.
You know, it was really wonderful. It was very emotional, and of course, you know, really, it was such an emotional time on the show because, of course, you know, Chris Stack came in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had arrived, I think I started work about a week before Chris did. And one of the things that I can tell you, which, you know, goes for any storyline, I think, on our show, but particularly at that time, there were a lot of new people around. You know, there was me and John and Sarah and Austin and, you know, all of the Texas crew. And then for Chris to come in on top of that with such a tremendous burden of you know, trying to catch up and being in the midst of the biggest storyline that was happening at the time and having to shoulder the acting burden, you know, the emotional burden of that. And I have never seen a group of people be more welcome, more welcoming, more open, more kind than everyone was to all of us, and particularly to Chris at that time. I mean, he was really carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders with that story. And and it was really extraordinary. And I think that you really hit on something when you talk about, you know, that being that the cast really pulled together to sort of make that happen. Because, you know, and we've all seen, you know, TV shows and movies and stories where you can tell that the actors, they're saying the words, but they're not quite committed to the feelings that they have to have to make it real.
I know you don't have much to compare to, but I've been watching the show for 20 years, and it's been a rough period for the show the last few years, and it's been a long time since we had a story like this.
Mm-hmm.
That, and since y'all had a story like this that everybody could really sink their teeth into, the fans and the actors both.
Mm-hmm.
And so it must have been just thrilling to be a part of it.
It really was. It was wonderful. And the way that, you know, the way that Ron brought all of those stories together, and, you know, of course, there's a certain level of contrivance to anything that goes on a soap opera. Of course, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we want to see. We want to see how far we can take our imaginations and our love.
Yeah, well, it's called opera for a reason, so.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So, you know, there's, for him to have brought it to Texas and to have a reason, you know, and then Marcy's on the run, and then, you know, Eric is already there, and Todd comes down, and the Buchanan Ranch is there, and there's all these reasons for all of us to be there. And it was just a tremendous emotional, I mean, and, you know, with the hostage situation, and, you know, we were having, you know, 50 plus extras on the set every day, and all the principal characters were there, and it was very exciting. It's absolutely thrilling to be a part of, definitely.
The whole climax, it felt like a sweet story, and it was so amazing that it happened the second week of January, because it felt like, you know, this huge, I mean, it's probably going to be the biggest thing in soaps this year. I mean, I don't think anything's going to top it in terms of execution and acting and, you know, writing all coming together. And it was an amazing thing to witness.
Well, I'm so glad.
Just as a fan.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you felt connected to it, too, because I know that there was a lot of, I try really hard to stay away from the message boards and the blogs. Once in a while, you know, you drop in, see what people are talking about. And there were a lot, people had a lot of mixed feelings about Marcy taking the baby and running. And I understand that, but I think that, you know, it's one of those situations where it was generating so much discussion, you know, people who were for it, people who were against it, that I thought, well, this is a successful storyline because whether people love it or hate it, they're talking about it. They're involved in it. You know, they're engaged. And so
the great thing about that story, the heartbreaking thing about that story was there wasn't a bad guy in it. I mean, you know, Marcy had a valid point and Todd had a valid point. And so you could see both sides of it.
Yeah, and you have to have that. You know, you have to have that redeeming quality in order to continue on watching, you know, these characters and their journeys. You have to be able to feel some sort of empathy for, you know, for their side of the story, their side of the plight. So it's great that you felt that way. I'm so glad to hear that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you were great on the show, and I think we're all kind of rooting for you to come back to the show. And my idea about Carlotta is a good one, Joanne. I don't care what you say.
It is. I didn't say it wasn't. Brandon, I didn't say nothing about it. Come on, buddy.
We deny it. We both deny it.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much for your vote of confidence. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It was a thrill to talk to you. Joanne, I'm calling in for Catherine Hicklin tomorrow night. So
you better.
I'm sure it's going to be a madhouse, but save me a spot.
You got it. You got it, my man.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Brandon.
Take care, Brandon. Bye-bye.
Bye, Brandon. He always brings so much to the table. I love when he calls in because he's so dedicated to the soaps, and he just always has great points about everything, and I enjoy when Brandon calls in.
He has a wonderful perspective on the show. You know, there's that you can tell that, you know, there's a history and a depth and an appreciation for, you know, like you said, it's, I mean, I think it's fairly widely acknowledged that the show had a rough patch, you know, in the last, you know, period of time. There were some rough patches, and it's really been a thrill to be a part of the, you know, sort of be the phoenix kind of rising, you know, from all of the troubles that have been in the past. So it's great.
Right. All right, we're going to go over here to area code 516. You're on the phone with January Lavoie.
Hi, January. It's Stacy.
Stacy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am wonderful. It's so great to hear from you.
Oh, it's very nice to talk to you, too.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
So I've heard that the camaraderie behind the scenes is really wonderful at One Life to Live. So I was wondering if there was someone who you've become especially close with or connected with?
Actually, I have. I've become quite close with Justice, who plays Sarah Roberts. Mm-hmm. And she was really terrific from the very beginning. Justice also comes from a theater background. And I think it's a little bit more, I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, it was a little bit more intimidating coming from a theater background because I'm extremely comfortable on stage, backstage, in rehearsal for theater. Switch over to television and specifically a soap opera, the entire format changes. You know, I'm used to, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of rehearsal and then, you know, 2.5 hours a night, whereas, you know, a soap opera, you get the script 3 days before, you have 10 minutes of rehearsal in the morning, you take in and you hopefully get it in one take, which is really different. So Justice was someone who really made herself available to me in terms of just kind of talking. We talked hours and hours on the phone about the differences and the similarities, and you know, she had been on the show for about a little under a year by the time I came on, and you know, just talked about what her transition was like, and but there, you know, like I said, I told the story about Erica before, and she of course is the greatest inspiration, and anybody would be, you know, fortunate to be working with her. I learned so much from her, and I shared a dressing room with Hillary and Catherine.
Oh, wow. That must have been fun.
Oh, I mean, talk about two wonderful, wonderful women. They absolutely welcomed me with open arms and really just were so encouraging and inspiring, and we're so happy to have you, and feel, make yourself comfortable. Put anything up on the walls you want. Here's the coffee pot. You know, it was really just great. So I can't say enough good things. But everyone, you know, Bethann, Kamar, everyone who I encountered really has, I know it sounds sort of Pollyanna-ish, but it's true. You know, I haven't had a bad moment in or around that studio, so.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Stacy came to see a play that I was in a couple months ago.
Really?
She did.
She is awesome. She came to see me on stage, which was really, it made me very nervous.
Oh,
really?
She was amazing. She blew me away, so.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And it was someone very different from Noelle, but she was amazing anyway.
To say the least, very different from Noelle. Yes, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for calling. It's so great to hear your voice again.
It's great to talk to you again, too.
All right, well, keep in touch, okay?
Will do.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot,
Stacy,
for calling
in.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodness. So what play were you doing?
I did a play called Spill the Wine. It fell perfectly in between a break that I had from the show. It was only about a five-week period of time, and it was for a festival that benefited one of the New York City public schools, and it was really a great, great experience. It was a really fun play, and I had put up on my MySpace page that I was doing this play, and Stacy is one of my MySpace friends, and she was sweet enough to come out, take the train out from Long Island, come into the city and see the play that I did, and I got to meet her afterwards, which was really
wonderful.
Yeah, it was really, really exciting. So that
very
was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, that's very cool, Janeway. Speaking of MySpace pages, I am also on there. You know, I have an account on there as well. And I added you as a friend just a little while ago myself. So now since I've gotten a chance to interview you tonight, or actually co-host with Joanne tonight to talk with you, now I'm part of your community now.
Excellent. I love it. Love it. And I love when people contact me through MySpace because it's a great way to get to sort of see people. You can go on their page and kind of see what they're about. I've had a lot of younger actors, you know, or people hoping to break into the business contact me. And you know, I never mind talking about that. Never mind. I wouldn't be here but for the grace and generosity of many actors whose brains I have picked over and over and over about this career and this life and how to do it and what to do. And so,
absolutely.
You know, I'm always happy to do that for people, and I love when people reach out that way. And also, I have a website that you can go to and contact me personally through, too, which is just my name, JanuaryLavoie.com. So
I've been there. I've been there, Janue.
You have?
Oh.
I've been there,
and that's why I got the information from you. I did my background check before I did the show tonight.
Oh,
and
good.
For anybody that doesn't know, January's website I have listed as a link on our website here with Blog Talk.
And oh, by the way, her picture is she looks so beautiful on the front page. She has a beautiful picture in front of the page.
Oh,
doesn't
she?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's see here. We got area code 585. I think this is Ruth, and I think she has another question. Ruth, is that you?
Ruth? Hello?
Wait a minute. For you. Hi.
Are you there? Hello.
There you go.
Hey,
it's
Ruth.
Me. Hello, it's only me again.
Hi, Ruth.
Hello. Okay, if you could be a character on One Life to Live other than Vicky, who would you be and why?
Oh, that's a good question.
But it can't be Vicky.
All right,
I know
it can't
that's
be
your
Vicky.
Favorite.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, I know. Am I obvious in my adoration of Erica? gosh. Okay, you know who I think I have to say? You know who I think I would be?
Who?
I think I would be David Vickers.
What? The dog or the person?
I think I would want to be David Vickers because he has
the dog
the most
or the
fun.
Person?
The person.
Okay.
I think Tuck has more fun than anyone ever has a right to have.
He's awesome.
I mean, I don't know, the last sort of go round when you saw him working in the cafe with us in Paris, Texas, and he did that whole day where he was telling his story about how he was at the Playboy Mansion and swimming and he lost his lucky lottery ticket and he got involved with the Hell Days. I mean, who gets to do that sort of thing? I mean, he's just outrageous, and Tuck is such a wonderful guy, and he's got this, you know, he's just got this great career going on. He's doing Desperate Housewives and One Life to Live. Maybe I want to be Tuck. Maybe that's what I'm saying. No,
it's a,
I think I want to be.
Good choice picking a man, too.
Well, you know, I think it's better that way. If I really had anything to choose at all, why not go all the way and choose something really different? So yeah, I would want to be David Vickers. Yeah.
Could I cheat and ask her another question?
Of course.
Sure.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. If you had a choice of being paired with someone, who would you be paired with and why?
My boyfriend is in the next room listening to this.
Uh-oh. It's a soap opera.
But I bet he knows what I'm going to say. I would love to be paired with David Chisholm.
Oh, okay.
That's where we want you paired with, honey. We have written into the powers that be. That's where we want you to pair with.
Well, I would love to see a little Noel Miles action. I adore David. I think he's a wonderful actor, and he's a great guy. And we had a great rapport when we first met. We really hit it off. And I just think that there would be an interesting – I think that Miles and Noel are two people that can be easily underestimated.
Yes.
I think there's a sweetness, but there's also a very deep history that both of them have. They've both been hurt. They've both been through different things.
Right.
And I think that would be a really interesting match. It would be great to see what they could bring out in each other. So.
Yeah, and there is a Miles secret.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
there's a devious side of Miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we've been writing in for, you know.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. Hopefully they'll take that under advisement.
We're hoping. That is too cool that you picked that. Hey, see, great minds think alike here.
That's right. That is absolutely
awesome,
right.
Awesome, girl.
Thank you.
That's
Ruth.
Awesome. Well, I'm fresh out of questions.
You know how to reach me if you think of anything else. You know where to find me.
Yes, I sure do.
Well, I thank you so much, Ruth.
You're very welcome.
Thanks a bunch,
Ruth. Have a
great
night.
You're welcome. Yes, you too.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Ruth.
Bye-bye. Good night.
She's so sweet. All right, so let's see. Now, I'm going to ask you a silly question. If you could have one superpower, which would it be and why?
That would be my question. Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, these are good questions. Gosh, there are so many. There's flight and there's mind control. And I think, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but probably time travel principally because I'm such a procrastinator. I'm also a bit of a history buff and a politics buff. And I would just love to see how things really happened, because I feel like it's really true that knowledge is power. And if the more you know, the more you know about the way things really happen and not the way people try to say they happen, the more you can get done, I think. So I think probably time travel would be my superpower. Gosh, I feel it's a little scary to commit to that. But that's a good one, though.
I think that's definitely a good one.
That or, you know, a house that never gets dirty. Does that count as a superpower? Laundry that never needs to be done? Does that count?
Yeah, clean power. Yeah, we have the power of clean houses to keep everything
clean.
My
mother has that power.
All mothers have that power.
My mother ironed our underwears and socks. She used to iron my father's boxers. I mean, now, today, could you get her to do it? Not in a chance, but when we were kids, and there was five of us, so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my mother was one of five also. Oh, I need to say hello to my mother, because I think she's listening. If she's still listening at this point, I haven't said hello to her. I'm probably in trouble now. Hi, Mom. Hey, Mom. Hi, Dad. They're up in Maine, where it's very cold, so.
Oh, well, you know, I'm moving to Buffalo in August, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely coming back up. I'm originally from New York, but
you are
far up. I'm from Yonkers.
you know, I'm from Yonkers, so Buffalo is way out of my reach, but my sister lives up there, so I decided to relocate from Florida to Buffalo. I've had with the extreme heat.
Well, we will be happy to have you up here. Are you going to be swinging by the old studio on your way up?
I would love to. Are you kidding me? I would love to.
Please do.
So listen, now, do you have a fan club out yet, or do you have a fan club president? Are you doing any of that kind of stuff yet?
You know, it's been so back and forth and up and down. I mean, what really happened with us, unfortunately, was that we started and we were, you know, we were under contract and everything, and then the writer's strike happened. And everything was completely, you know, up in the air and all over the place. And so I think we lost a little bit of momentum. And I had sort of been talking, you know, to people about that. And then it went away for a little while. I mean, the show kind of went away for me. And then all of a sudden the show came back. And so at this point, I've sort of been functioning as my own fan club president, if that's possible.
Okay.
But I get all my mail, and I write back to everyone, and I run my website and my MySpace page. If there's anybody out there that's dying to be my fan club president, they should get in touch with me through my MySpace page or my website, and I would be happy to talk about that.
Absolutely. And you know, though, too, sometimes, especially when you're first starting in the show, it's better to do your own. Because what I've noticed, and I swear I'm not going to mention any names, with certain people, once they let a fan club president take over, they kind of like lose touch with the fans, not intentionally, but they're not as of aware as what's going on.
Yeah,
you know
I can definitely see that. And, you know, it's really at a point for me where I draw a lot of inspiration and a lot of energy from having contact. I mean, as you can see, a lot of the people who called in tonight are people
Well, that's how I contacted you.
Exactly. Yeah, and I so enjoy having the dialogue with people and knowing that what we're doing is reaching people and touching people. It's important. And, you know, again, I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that my grandmother was a huge, huge One Life to Live fan. And I sort of, not so much that I owe it to her, but that I understand what it means to people. I understand that this show comes into your living room and your life every day for decades. And that means something. There's a significance to that. You know, it's
absolutely.
Not just habit. It's not just rote. You know, you don't just pick up the TV and turn on Channel 7 because you have nothing better to do. This is a place where you go. It's a second home.
Yeah.
And, so to me, I can't imagine not responding, you know, and not giving some of that energy back to the people that give it to me and the people that it means so much to. So, you know, as far as that goes, it's very, very personal for me, and I'm very...
Well, that's very why everybody is drawn to you and everybody loves you so much, because they can feel that from you, because I can tell you that I've contacted people similar to you and started off with a bang, and then just stop contact all the way. So, yeah, definitely keep that up no matter what. Real quick, we have 2 minutes left remaining. Everybody, don't forget to tune in tomorrow for Catherine Hickland. She'll be with us.
That's going to be fun.
And, and Greg Vaughn is going to be on Thursday, Bucky from General Hospital. That's his rescheduled interview from last week. Yeah, he was sick last week and didn't make it. And then next week we have a 3 full days of One Life to Live. Tobias Pavilion, Brandon Buddy, and Mark Lawson will be with us the 7th, 8th, and 9th. So make sure you check MySpace for my calendar and check all the dates.
Absolutely.
January. Before you go, can I get you to do a little promotion for the show? Hi, this is January Lavoie, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio, that kind of thing?
And do a little flash. Do it with a little flash at the end if you want.
How about if I give you a little Noel? Since we haven't
really
heard from Noel.
Like Noel would do it. I'm recording now, so you can do it whenever you're ready.
Okay. Hi, this is January Lavoie, better known as Noel Ortiz, the pie bacon waitress from the Bonjour Cafe, and you are listening to Stardish Radio.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
Well,
perfect.
January, we're definitely going to be in touch with you through MySpace. Everybody go to her website. The link is on my page.
JanuaryMahoy.com.
Start writing in. We're yes. telling everybody to write in, and we want to see more of Noelle on One Life to Live.
Yes,
and
please.
January, I will definitely be contacting you when I'm on my way up there in August.
Please do. Please. I would love to meet you in person and definitely
get yes.
Thanks so much.
Hello, Joanne. It was great talking to you.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks a lot, January.
Thank you.
Have a great holiday this weekend.
You too. Be safe.
Take care.
All right. Care.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening to Star Dish Radio. We're out of here.
Peace
out.
Good night.
Night, Tony.
Bye, Joanne. Good night, everybody.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Star Dish Radio.